Good afternoon. This is the regular meeting for March 14th, 2013 of the Civil Service Commission. Present today are Bruce Weiland and Linda McMacken and William
Foster.
Sorry. I've only known you for the last year.
And yourself?
Rob Killian. So we have a quorum to continue on here. First order of business, we needed to make some amendments or adjustments to this regular meeting agenda. I'd like to propose that we add a short conversation after 5, the report of the Chief of Police, to include a just a discussion of how the LEMAP recommendations pertain to the Civil Service Commission, and I had circulated some thoughts about what business that we do specific to some of the recommendations that the LEMAP study mentioned for recruiting and things that we touch on, and see if we can discuss that and how we might respond and aid the department in their accreditation. I'd also like, from information from Larry and Kate, we no longer need the executive session, item number 10. And Linda had a recommendation to add a discussion point for an additional member being added to the commission. We can do that in place of item number 10. Do we need a motion to amend the agenda, or can it just be done ad hoc?
I think as long as the chair is okay with it.
Does anybody else like to add anything? Any other discussion points?
That's good.
Sounds good to me.
That's amended then. All right. Disclosure of conflicts of interest and important in-between meeting communications. Bruce, you want to start us off?
I have nothing to report.
Okay. And William, I have nothing to report.
I hate to be a copycat, but I have nothing to report either.
Rob Killian, the only meeting or communications I had was a coffee with Kim Hendrickson to discuss some of the pending issues of, and the future of civil service, but no conflicts of interest. That's it. Item number 3, February 14th minutes. If you want to circulate copies of that.
Yes, I attached these to the, when I sent out the agenda. So did everyone have a chance to look at them?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think they look good?
I have no comments.
I'll move for approval of the minutes as submitted.
I had one amendment.
Okay.
And I forwarded on to Kate. There was a paragraph that a motion was moved and seconded, but then it hadn't been noted that it was passed unanimously.
That's right.
And
about
the only amendment to it.
Right. The investigation of the appeal.
Yep.
So I added that where... William made the motion. It was seconded by Bruce, and then carried it.
Okay, so I'll
move for approval as with that amendment.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
We have no public comments today. They're always welcome. And report from Public Safety Manager, Mr. Dickerson.
Well, you all had an opportunity to read the LEMAP study. I mean, just to kind of give you an overview, I think it was a good report. And we had already started working on some of the standards prior to getting the report because we had done an exit interview with the LEMAP committee. So we started, our goal is to continue working on that. It's going to take probably at least a year, you know, before an agency is going to be accredited. But one of the things that we're doing, and you probably saw it in the report, is we're doing the LexiPol, which is the model policies for the, I mean, most agencies are, who become accredited use the LexiPol policies and feed them into theirs. They're kind of the model policy. So we're in the process of doing that also. I think this department, you know, within a year, year and a half or so, should be accredited. Hopefully, will be, and that's a good thing.
What percentage of Western Washington police departments are versus are not?
Today, I can't tell you, but at one time, probably, I'd say in the early 2000s, I would say, or maybe it was in the 90s, because they went out of a statewide accreditation and went to a national system, but over half of law enforcement agencies. I was in Lacey. Our department was accredited. The county was accredited to Tom Water was accredited, and I believe Tom Water was accredited, and so was Olympia. But some of these agencies let those accreditations run out. They're only good for 5 years.
So has Bainbridge ever been accredited?
I don't know.
Okay. And does it allow us to get funding, grants, and things that we wouldn't?
Well, what it does is your insurance rates drop. Number one, and number two, your liability drops because number one, you're complying with everything you should be doing and training and all these other things. You have all these law policies in place, and it's just a review of the operations. I would say a police department, and I was talking to sheriff's office today, and they're thinking about having a LEMAP done too. You know, just have somebody come in and do it. I don't know if they're going to do it now, but they're talking about it because it's a good thing.
What profit?
Well, you know,
if you know, I mean, maybe if it's already,
you know, I think, well, you know, I was asked if there was a study that I thought, and I recommended LEMAP.
Oh, so, okay.
To the city manager, but he already was aware of the process, too. But, you know, I'm aware of LEMAP and how it works, and it's a good process. It's a review, and they're not easy on you. They
right.
call it the way it is.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I look at that report, and it's an opportunity for us to improve and work in that direction, and that's what we're currently doing. We are going to involve everybody on the department in this process. It's not going to be the chief or the people doing it.
Is Seattle credit?
I don't know. I don't think so. A lot of the agencies lapsed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big debate. You know, WASPIC, which is the Abortion Association, Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. You know, they were torn between the National CLIA program, and then they were the WASPIC or the Washington Accreditation Program, which I think the Washington State had a good accreditation program. I preferred it a lot more. It was 5 years versus 3 years, less expensive, didn't have as many standards as the other did. But I was involved in probably. I think 24 different agencies. I was part of an assessment group that went into accreditations.
Mm-hmm.
You learn, you pick stuff up for your own department.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably read a little bit about the weapons thing. I mean, we got more press than we deserve. But, you know, our goal was to have an outlet so if people had old ammunition. I've seen people come in with old ammunition and wanting to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere to take it. We don't
has there been a big response?
We got about 6,000 rounds of ammunition. I think 16 weapons were turned in, shotguns. We had two BB guns, but shotguns and handguns, about six
and
handguns.
People that just were not comfortable having that in the house? Or
yeah.
This was John's, and he's been dead for 5 years, and I don't know what to do with it.
Somebody had 2 5-gallon buckets of just loose ammo in their garage, you know.
Keeping
you know, just kind of a thing to do to maybe provide a service. You know, we weren't taking a stand on guns, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we did get some nasty emails a little bit, but we weren't taking. We were just providing a service is all we were doing, and I think it went over quite well. But you know, we didn't pay anything for weapons or give out any gift cards. But we're gonna do it again. They'll probably do it again next year.
So the LEMAP and the accreditation process, when do we get accredited? Is that after they come back and we've proven that we've done X, Y, and Z in response to the report? Yeah.
You
so
start the process. First of all, you set up all your standards. You set up a file with every standard in it, and you have to have that in place. Then you involve the department. You educate everybody on how the process works, and then you have what you're doing, you know, in your file as far as firearms training goes, then the WASPIC has a standard on how it goes, and then we have to comply. Our policy has to fit their requirement. So we go through all this, we had a policy, I'll just throw this one out, we had a policy where officers, were required to fire, qualify every quarter when the requirement is twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to you know, I mean, you can still go do shoots, but they don't have to be, you know, qualifications. And so we changed that. And just, you know, things like that, you know, because when we weren't even in compliance because we weren't qualifying every quarter. We were qualifying some people once or twice a year, and that was it. So, but we have to change what we're doing to fit what they require. And then we go through and we fix all our policies and we go through our evidence room, and then we bring in people from other agencies to do a mock accreditation, and they go through and review everything and grade us on it. Tell us to fix it and everything else, and then we have an accreditation manager who's responsible for all this. And then once we're through that, we fix that, then the next step is to bring in the group from WASPIC. And
how much does all this cost?
You know, it's been a while since I did an accreditation, but it seems to me you have usually 4 to 5 assessors, and you pay for their living and quarters and all that, and then it's probably going to cost, I would say, probably about $6,000 or $7,000 or something like that.
That's really not very much for the amenities.
No, not well. It's the work is on the back of the apartment. It's a great process, you know, and it's a good review of your operation.
Have you thought about having the island host the people that come that do the assessment, and you know, have a guest room? And I mean, I think that's one of the wonderful things that can happen in the community.
And that would be fine. You know, that's something that, you know, we could look at, or you know, the department could look at doing.
Because it would cut our costs and be friendly.
And then y'all are probably aware of the accident at the bridge. We had two in the last 6 months. Fortunately, I didn't get caught in this one. But
are they still alive?
Yes. We didn't think the gentleman was going to make it, but he's alive. As last I was told, he was alive. They were both in critical. They both had. He had broken arms, broken legs, just all kinds of.
The vehicles were so hard to look at.
And then the lady was, she was pretty hurt pretty bad too. But boy, it just, my hat's off to you if you live on the island and you want to go somewhere. The ferries just keep dumping. So and then the accident was at 2:09 in the afternoon, and we didn't get traffic moving until almost 6 o'clock that evening.
Actually, it was 5:33. But it was still backed up till 7:30.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on the north end, and you know, I had people there that couldn't move.
The complaints we got were that we heard. Nobody was complaining about the accident because they understand that. But the complaints were the ferries weren't letting people know before they got on board.
Right.
That the bridge was blocked.
Yeah. People would have driven around.
Oh yeah. Well, you couldn't. You know. You could.
Yeah.
You could if you were going to Bremerton. Yeah.
Right.
And then we did arrest. We had an individual that was voyeurism. I won't go into any more detail than that. We did arrest him finally. We had been following him for about a week. We were trying to, weird deal. And so he was arrested, and then the officers down at the ferry docks, we had 4 officers, but not really 2 of ours, and I believe one of the deputies was assaulted by a sailor. And we ended up, you know, arresting him. He was pretty intoxicated.
He's a Marine, not a sailor.
Marine, yeah. What the record is, he's not a Marine. He was not a sailor.
Well, he was in the Coast Guard, and I spent 4 years in the Coast Guard. But, you know, and then we do put out a monthly report. And
yes.
We do, and I
think I got that today from Barb, so I will forward it to you.
And just kind of give you an idea. All it is bullet points on things that we do, training that we are involved in, and it just tells you what. It's the goal of the monthly report to the city manager and to the assistant city manager is to give that to them every month so they know what's going on, and then at the end of the year there's your annual report.
Because
the statistics are all online, so you can go online, and the stats are, you know, criminal activity and all that.
Yeah, People don't realize how complicated this island is, mm-hmm. and all the different issues, and I think that the more people can get aware of that, the better it is.
Well, we have a town hall meeting coming up in April. I believe it's April 11th, maybe.
Okay.
We also have the Citizens Roundtable this month, and I have Chris was supposed to be here. He's, I believe that's the 20th. I'll get you the date.
Okay.
And you're, any of you are welcome with any of those events.
Is Chris Jensen the one that's kind of heading those up now?
He goes with me because when I leave, I want somebody that knows what's going on in those arenas because I want you to, I'd like to see the department do the town halls, just keep doing them a couple of year, and they're not a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't just bring me in there because people don't really want to hear what I have to say all the time, but they sure are interested in what our Harvard Master has to say and some of the programs she's got going and
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And then we were looking at maybe getting some, you know, emergency services pamphlets on family preparedness and safety and some things like that to give out to you. But other than that, you know, that's about it.
One other item on some narcotics trafficking, the high school arrest of some cocaine sales. I think it was kind of a spinoff of the surveillance at Safeway, and then they were able to arrest some other individuals that they saw and come to find out they were selling at that.
Yeah, they did arrest. They did. I haven't reviewed the report, but we did make an arrest on the subject of cocaine, and it was in the area Safeway.
Is there? I know you talked about in the past for a grant opportunity for the school resource officer having it as a collateral duty for one of your other officers. Is there any security officers at all sworn or unsworn at this school district? Is there?
They do have a security officer. The district does, and. Normally, he's at the high school. We do work with him very closely in tabletop exercises, and in fact, we just did a review of how do you say it. We went over all the security issues at the high school with him. In fact, it was he went over that. I don't have his name, but they do have a gentleman over there that does that.
All right.
Just
curious on that. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay. And just kind of spinning off on that, what I wanted to do is after reviewing that very detailed LEMAP report, and there's a lot of information there. I think it's great that you see that as a long-term process to take each of those. But I was able to identify, and if anybody else had any other topics that we may be able to identify, I looked at Chapter 10 of kind of the lane in the road that civil service was responsible for in the recruiting and selection process. And that top part is all those individual WASPIC accreditation standards that they identify that deal with recruiting and selection. And then they had various different recommendations that I thought civil service at least touched on, and we could help the department in addressing those things and ensuring that our operations manual reflects those accreditation standards and that we are able to address some of these issues to help in that improvement process. So what I drafted up was that, and I welcome any additions or subtractions or other ideas that we can do to help in this. But the first recommendation was to develop and publish hiring standards for all employees and publish in agency standards and policy manuals. And I think we're nearly there. We're very close in developing the new police officer job description and updating the profile, and we'll be able to publish that. And then taking that and entering it into the work William and Bruce are doing on developing an operations manual. And then as a new chief comes aboard and new city attorney, and we're able to receive input and counsel on what all these updates are going to look like and develop a kind of a clear booklet of what all those hiring standards are, if there are any preference options for us, what all the new disqualifiers are as we go through this legal review process and input from the new chief. And then once we get all of those and essentially documented, then we can publish on the website or in our operations manual one for each of the covered civil service positions that we have. Yes, please.
Just a question, two questions. One, looking at their standards, Larry, isn't it true that, I mean, it seems like every one of those things we already do?
We do.
Yeah. So I you know, maybe there's tweaks and there's things that can be improved, documentation particularly,
yeah.
But I don't think there's any great holes in the in the menu at this point.
No, I think we're very much there, but it's a matter of documentation to meet the accreditation standard is where we're at now. I'm just kind of getting our ducks in a row to make sure we do all that. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the issues was the hiring, and not so much the hiring process, but the background process, and that was that investigation was done by the county, and that led up to a lot of these changes, and led up to the detectives being trained as competent background investigators, and making sure we do qualities, which we did. And one thing they got us, the only thing they got us on was, and if you probably saw it in there, was polygraphers have to every 2 years be certified. And we didn't check that. Well, Seattle PD isn't going to let these people be polygraphers, so
right.
Not certified. But, that's what
but it, yeah, it goes back to a matter of documentation.
Yeah.
The background investigator
right.
says
yeah.
polygrapher Smith was last accredited on such and such date and received the annual training update. But it's just a matter of documentation at this point.
The other thing I would note is that, at least as to the security of files, that was something we addressed in.
Absolutely.
In our rules amendment, so
yep.
we were kind of a little foresight there, so I think we did it. We hit it. We lucked out.
Yep. Yeah. I think we're very close, and it's just a matter of making sure that we have everything so we can aid the department in their accreditation and that we're keeping our internal processes up to date as well. And the second one there was trying to be creative, and as we work with the chief and the city and HR and the guild, I'm trying to create some kind of comprehensive recruitment strategy. I'm trying to create an idea of how do we recruit more lateral applicants or higher qualified applicants, and it's just we just have a seat at that table to encourage that dialogue. Is it that we try to come up with new ideas of getting our officers to talk to other officers that could be viable candidates for us. And then on the next page, Chief was talking about the credentials and certifications whether that's just a matter of documentation on the part of the background investigator or if we need it to actually be mentioned, because it's one of the, in our rules, it talks about the additional tests that we require in our rules in 8.16 and 10.12, and whether or not we have a rules amendment with one extra line that confirms that for medical, psychological, and polygraph exams, they will be credentialed and certified, or it can be a bullet item in your operations manual that just confirms that we are going to do that and have that as a requirement in our testing and screening process for new hires. And then the last one, hiring files. I know Kate is all over this, and we addressed this when we first were created a year ago. And perhaps it's just a matter of as you create the operations manual, we just denote this as these are some of our standard operating procedures about these physical security measures. And I actually didn't know about the separation of the personnel files from any medical tests, psychological, and polygraph results. Those actually have to be housed separately, and you wouldn't just put all of that information in one person's jacket. So, and then the last one kind of goes also back to the records management in Chapter 5, just making sure that we're observing all of the preservation and destruction processes and keeping a log as those archive schedules expire. And I know we're doing it, it's just a matter of documenting it in our procedures. Any other additions or comments?
So a side question, as noted in here, there's a number of things that we're kind of have in abeyance while we're waiting for input from the new chief, the new city attorney, and maybe even Doug. What's the timing on, I say, pick the new city attorney yet?
No, not yet. That's
still
ongoing.
The chief element is still early in the process.
Right, yeah, I think the chief, I think that's been narrowed to 12 from 50-something.
Wow.
So I think interviews will be in April. So I think hoping to have a new chief by June, is that right? Did I make that up? May or June, something like that?
I would think May, maybe.
And the city attorney, what's that?
I'm not sure of the hope on that, but I just know that it's ongoing. So,
okay.
Yeah, well, still kind of
a lot of things when we can report into
it. It's a complicated thing.
I would, I'd be interested just to hear if there's anything. I read through the LEMAP study kind of quickly, lengthy, going, but I'm wondering, is there anything other than what Rob has identified in there, and recommendations where the Civil Service Commission might be useful in doing some work or adding?
I think the area that was identified would be one of the key ones, and but I would, you know, I've gone through it. The model policy process that we have in place right now is going to take care of a lot of our issues.
And it's really not about the Civil Service Commission at all.
No.
I mean, it's incidental if we pop up in there.
Most of it's day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
Training is a big issue in there. If you read that, the blood wound pathogen rules, we've got all that stuff taken care of. We've even done the training, as you know. So we're moving right along. But it's going to take a while. But I would strongly say that if there's something in there that you can give us feedback on, I'd be more than happy to get that. Or we may run into something that we may have questions of you on.
Happy to help anyone who can.
Kate, your report.
Okay. So, the job analysis process, this is just one sentence update for you. The draft job description that I put together is being reviewed by the department management. So that's Larry and the lieutenants are having a look at that, or the administrative lieutenants are reviewing it. So that's where we're at. We have not provided that to the guild yet in terms of their, you know, as a courtesy, we like to send it to them for their review. So we haven't done that yet because we're still discussing any other changes that we might want before we have a final draft for their review. So I will get back to you on that one next time.
I can't remember. I'm sure we talked about it. Is there a public comment element to this or not?
There is not. No. The job.
We talked about it, there were two parts of it. There was a later part.
The profile. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be.
I just want to be real clear that
Yes. There
is going to be a public input element at the right point in this process, and it's an integrated entire process.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. The responsibility for assigning duties and determining what the duties are of a position rests with the city.
Well,
so
the profile is more about the qualities and the qualifications.
Right.
Less
right.
Physically. Okay.
Right. Okay, eligibility list update. So I double-sided these. So we've got the lateral. It hasn't changed since the last time you looked at it, but we'll just look at it one more time.
So these.
One for each of these, sorry.
Just one page.
Yes,
right.
I doubled them. So we have the lateral on one side and the entry level on the other. Again, nothing's really changed. We have one lateral whose background is ongoing at this point. And then that's it. That's really all there is to say about that page. I just kept the history of everybody else who was interviewed on here or who's ever come to that point, so we have that history.
I would suggest that we continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And even if it starts to fall off the page, maybe
yeah.
you move it into a
right.
an archive. But
right.
This ought to be part of our record keeping.
Yes. Okay, so the entry level side, that has not changed either. I'm sorry the shading didn't come out very well, but the top five are still with the department as part of that certification process for 3 months. So I'm sure, I can speak for Larry and say I know they're working on two backgrounds right now, so that nothing has really changed since the last.
Two meeting. Of the entries in addition to the lateral are in background?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for how many positions are we?
Just one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
And we don't have authority to, the police department doesn't have authority to hire more than that one position. And even if there's even if there's a great person who, and we know there's going to be a position opening up in 3 months or something.
No budgetary authority to add
anything. Would you consider going back to the council, or is that like just a hot potato that you can't even go near?
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be a shame to
not really.
To back to get some good candidates and then have to let them walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask this.
Hot potato you pass on to the new chief.
Let me ask this question then. If let's say you find two of these three are really just great folks and you want them both. You obviously will offer to one, and let's imagine that 5 months later, an opening because someone retires. can you go back and revive their background check, or do you have to redo it?
If they're still eligible.
In other words, all the background information doesn't have to be renewed?
We would go through it again.
The whole thing, the polygraph, everything.
Polygraph, psychic.
You could go back to them, but you would have to do all that work. Yes, that would.
And that's a CJTC requirement.
Is it?
Yeah.
So like there's what, a sunset of what, a couple of months or something? I mean, there's some sort of set.
It depends, you know, some of the psychs, I've seen psychologists say there's only good for 30 days. Or they're good for 3 months or, you know, various.
That sounds like
but
a
I think,
in this analysis.
I know. But I would probably say if it was five or six months, I would want to go back and redo the background.
There could be a liability of what that guy been doing or that girl been doing for 6 months while they were on your table.
Now, if the psychologist that did the psych, I should say this before I jump in and say the psych, if the psychologist, Dr. Ted, said, no, that's good, then we wouldn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Polygrapher, we could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Something could have happened.
So the budget, as written, doesn't have any sort of overdraft protection, shall we say, that can be used for, I mean, there's got to have the emergency fund that we use for things that come up.
Oh, yeah.
So there's got to be something in there that's fluid.
But you would have to make a request to the council.
Oh, it's not at the discretion of the chief.
No. Okay. Not for personnel.
Think, what's the dollar amount? $1,000?
The city manager has signing authority for anything under $30,000.
Department directors, I think, is $1,000. They have the city manager. And any out of state train or something like that is automatically the city manager.
Okay.
Not that it would be in the financial best interest of the candidate, but could you hire them as a unpaid reserve officer pending a vacancy that could occur in 6 months or something?
Can't work as a police officer unless they're certified.
Right. If they were, let's say they were a lateral candidate, and they were already a fully certified peace officer, they would be unpaid as a reserve. But could you, if you knew Officer Smith was going to retire in 6 months?
As long as they're an in-state candidate, where they don't have to go through the
equivalency academy.
Yeah, the equivalency academy.
I still don't know if you could do that though, because you basically then the position becomes vacant. And you're slotting someone in there.
You would have to go back through our civil service and interview process again.
Yeah.
Well, two people on here, you'll see their eligibility expires at the end of this month. So, assuming they are not hired, they will be coming off this list.
Okay.
So that's that far left-hand column shows the expiration date.
The 30th, I see.
Mm-hmm. This template, by the way, the way the columns are organized, mm-hmm. I copied that straight from public safety testing, so I don't love it, and I think it's kind of weird. I think that's supposed to be over here, so that's the first thing you see, but it's kind of weird to have that date separated from the other date.
And again, that expiration reflects expiration of the PST test? Where
no, of you guys certifying them after they were interviewed.
Post-interviews test,
right.
Certification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. 1 year from their interview dates.
Right. So we have two there in March, and then we have two who will expire in July, assuming they're not hired. So that really leaves us with four people, seeing how we go. So I don't feel the need to make a recommendation that we talk about a rule change or adding a rule that says, like I think we talked about with Steve DiGiulio, that you could do if you wanted to, that anytime a new test comes along that you think is better, you can invalidate your whole list and start over. I'm not sure that that's really necessary at this point because we have candidates with whom we're working.
Yeah, right.
So I think we just look at
one. But did you decide to defer that outreach to candidates about asking them to retake the test?
No, I did contact them.
Okay.
I have that on number 8, but I can certainly talk
whatever.
About it now.
No, you do whatever order you want. That's fine.
There it is. Okay.
Let's look at. So here are these are the people who have taken the new test. And these are also double-sided also, so one page for each of you. So 44 people have taken the entry level, as an entry level, have taken the new test. And these are their scores. And for...
These are folks who have expressed an interest in them.
Right. They have specifically tested for our agency. Yep. And four laterals that are on the other side.
Boy, this is so competitive.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. Laterals is a little bit more range. So we're building up our list, so that's good. The good news, the bad news is we still have these other names, so we're not really, I think, in a position to be holding interviews for a while. I mean, these people are just going to sit there, but...
Well, we don't know whether any of those on our eligibility list are in this list.
I do know.
Yeah.
For example, I know that the number one on the entry level is on our eligibility list, but he went to took the time to take the test again.
That's what I meant.
Right.
So some of these people have.
I think maybe one or two.
Okay.
Yeah. So. The last thing, which I didn't make copies of this for you guys because it's not really worth it. These are the entry-level applicants who took the old test, and I was going to contact up to 10 of them, but I wasn't going to go below 83.25. I think that was the cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, find out if they're still interested, and if they are, then I was going to offer to pay, the city would pay for their testing fee.
Right.
So I've been slowly contacting people. I've confirmed with seven so far that they're still interested. I heard back from another seven that they are not still interested, so it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So my next step then is to contact public safety testing, figure out the logistics of how we would pay for that, and then go back to them and say, okay, between now and April 30th, I think giving you 2 months is plenty of time, mm-hmm. the city will pay for you to take the test again. This is how it works.
So in summary, if I get this right, that list that you were just talking about
mm-hmm.
are the folks who want Bainbridge, who took the old test.
Right.
We've identified those that would meet our initial screening standards,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting most of them saying they want to still be interested in Bainbridge and take the new test.
Yeah, about half.
And then the rest of that people on that list, we will by resolution ignore.
Right.
So that takes care of that. Then on the current eligibility list,
mm-hmm.
Some of them are going to drop off,
mm-hmm.
and
they
there's,
could. Mm-hmm.
there's only a couple left who are still in this transition
mm-hmm.
mode. But since we've got three candidates being background checked for one position,
mm-hmm.
we're really not under any pressure at this point.
No.
And if we get to a pressure point, we could always contact those folks
mm-hmm.
as well and say, you know, we'd be more comfortable if you retook the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tricky one because, I mean, technically they're eligible. So they've already passed.
Oh, because we've already processed them.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
so we might. So right. We could stick with them
yes.
before we went to the new list. Okay.
Right.
So I get it all.
One question that was asked at the last meeting is: these people who have already taken the test and been interviewed, could we have them go and take the new test and then we combine that with their previous
interview.
Score?
Yeah.
And I spoke with our attorney about that, and she said, you know, there's no rule for that. You'd have to create a rule and. That probably wouldn't work because at the time that they tested and became eligible, that rule didn't exist. So
mm-hmm.
that's not really fair to
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So our choice is either to slow down enough till these people either fall off the list naturally or to keep our processing efforts focused on those people until
mm-hmm.
they're all done before we move to the new people.
Right. And that may come through by request for removal. They may
yeah,
get hired
it could
somewhere
naturally
else.
Happen in the next
exactly.
5 months anyway.
Exactly, but it seems like we have a decent number
mm-hmm.
right now to work on our current vacancy, and then if we have another vacancy or two or whatever, however many come up.
So it seems like we probably really won't need to do another oral until the fall.
Possibly not, but the question then comes up, and I think Larry might speak to this. If you have these four laterals. Is there an interest in scheduling interviews for those? We still have one lateral on the current list that we're working on the background, but in the next few months, are you thinking that you might want to see these people?
Yes, I think we should.
Mm-hmm. So you're always having that option of lateral or entry?
Yeah, because
you're not limited?
You bet. I'd love to.
So that was the item number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Because if whatever happens to this one remaining candidate on the lateral list, whether that person is hired or...
Then we're out of lateral.
Then
that
we
point.
Have a
yeah.
We have a completely empty lateral list.
Right.
So entry level, no problem, and we can create a new lateral certification with all new test candidates.
Right. And we don't. And we can have old on one and new on the other because
right.
Right.
Old.
Yeah. The
different list. Different eligibility list.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying then is we might schedule these four people for orals in the springtime, let's say, or something
mm-hmm.
like
that. That was our thought. I'd like a couple more candidates just so you could impanel for a full day.
Right.
Otherwise, it may not be worth, you know, lieutenants and a sergeant from another agency coming over and a couple of civilian reps to create that oral board and go through that whole process for a day. Four would, you could do in a half day
mm-hmm.
In a morning, but
I don't.
It's a small pool of candidates. I would like maybe a couple more.
But a 4.5 day, I mean, from a citizen's perspective, a half day is actually more manageable than a full day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a Paulsboro officer who's volunteering, it just means you get 3 hours to go back to your job. I mean, so I wouldn't necessarily not do it because of that.
My thought is maybe we could put it off until May in the hopes that we might get one or two additional lateral applicants.
I think that's reasonable.
And if we could schedule that for a May time, then we definitely have these four. Contingent upon them not being hired by another agency, perhaps, and then maybe we can get some additional applicants, and we can bring those, we can tag those in at the end of a day of interviews. And it also leads to the recruiting question about spurring your officers to go talk to all their sister agencies and seeing if anybody else might like to be poached.
That's actually being done,
yeah.
And we've actually got one individual that has applied.
And then see if we can...
Is that individual out here now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then that also leads me to the thought of, like, our advertising. If
mm-hmm.
we want to go to PST, have them do a post of Bainbridge Island now, and if we want to do a WASPIC or
mm-hmm.
you know, push out there an advertising campaign to try to announce to lateral candidates
mm-hmm.
that, hey, we have this vacancy, please come interview with us, and if we can get a couple more.
But what feels... Well, I don't know what the cultural norms are, but can we say, is it comfortable to say that when in fact we only have one vacancy, which we may very well fill for the current three people we're checking? I mean, I don't know. If they volunteer that they are like us and they put themselves on our list, I have no problem doing orals. To actually say we're looking for laterals and we don't have a place to put them, is that standard in the industry? You're the HR expert.
I think the issue is that... they shouldn't have just one group to choose from, and so...
No, I get the motive. I get the
so
policy.
I think
so
I'm not...
I'm just talking about how you advertise.
No, I hear you, but I'm not convinced that they will necessarily hire from that one pot that they have right now. So I don't think it is...
So when you're broadcasting to the laterals out there, you're not... You can say, look, we don't have a vacancy now, but we have a empty lateral eligible.
Right, you can do
and
that.
We want to populate it.
Well, what Kate's saying is if you advertise now, you could maybe all three of these background people in background will not be selected. So there
right,
is a
that, that's
it,
yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
So
you can be straight about where we are.
Give us an option.
Yeah.
And don't we have a number of officers that are contemplating retirement? I mean, that was something I remembered from last year,
you know,
that there was the potential of maybe three or four that would pop up and they didn't have to really give notice.
They don't really have to give, well, usually they give 30 days or something like that with retirements. You know, I've heard that, but no one has approached me.
What's your
sense? So maybe is it more, maybe that talk was more morale.
I know that we have a lieutenant who said, you know, maybe a year, 2 years.
So you don't have that on the horizon like Chief Feldman thought he did?
I don't see it with this department right now. I mean, unless somebody changes their mind real quick, you know, sometimes when you change administrations and
mm-hmm.
new leaders come in and demands might be a little different than what you're used to, people do tend to.
But there might be some optimism that wasn't there a year ago, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember in the school district, we were told that it was lawful and appropriate to set up a an incentive for early notice to retirement. In other words, some kind of beefed up benefit that was allowed if they told you 6 months in advance. I don't know, is that something the police department can do?
That's an interesting idea. I will find out about that.
I mean, there's all sorts of contractual issues, obviously, there. But that was a pretty useful tool. People would go to likely retirees and say, you know, here's some options for you, and to get more warning.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that through the retirement system, through offers, specific things.
I'll look into that.
Well, what's our thoughts of trying to do some advertising or camp, reaching out to some sites or something just to put, we currently have one vacancy. If you are a lateral candidate, please apply.
Well, yeah, I think we ought to do that because if we're trying to get more participants in our oral board, we should reach out.
Larry, how do you feel about that? I would love to have more lateral candidates on our list right now.
Is this
culturally appropriate in what we're describing?
Well, I mean, those are being posted by other agencies
all
now.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, Woodville and a bunch of other agencies are actively advertising for lateral officer positions.
Well, we have continuous testing anyway,
yeah,
so there's no problem with advertising all the time, anytime. Regardless of the amount, even if we had no vacancies, we could still advertise.
Except
though.
In the industry that you could be just packing your list
right.
for future.
Right.
So
I'm happy to do that. Yep, I will do that.
And so
like IACP, WASPIC, AWC, some other
If we're going to do that, then maybe we should have you start to put together the calendar structure that goes
mm-hmm.
to a May oral board. And there are like two or three dates that lead up to that.
Right.
And you're now a pro at.
All
you have to do is look at the operations manual if you need to know what the...
Let me flip to that page in my head.
Advertise for a panelist.
Yes.
I just have one question. Mm-hmm. If you have four laterals that have already passed the testing process, why can't we test those laterals? There's four, but still have the advertising. I mean, we used to, like, it was an ongoing testing process.
Mm-hmm.
If you had people and you continually filled your list, because if something did come up that we didn't take any of the three, we would be going away. You know, we need people.
So
go ahead and have an interview panel for the four existing candidates, and if we get additional candidates,
I think that's what we're thinking.
Yeah. But I think what we're thinking is we're going to do this panel in May.
Yeah.
And if we, through some advertising with others, we get a couple more on the list, that's great. But if we only have four, we'll do
we'll
it
go
in
with
May
the four.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Because May is soon enough, unless you're saying we should do it before May.
I just think it should be done as fair, but as soon as we can.
What I'm kind of hearing is that because these things have an element of surprise as far as the need, that we should structure the process so that twice a year, probably minimum twice a year, we have the testing and invite for the
sure.
oral boards and just make that, even if we don't have slots immediately for them to fill, that gives the chief option.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how we should
either it's twice a year, however many times a year is necessary, make sure your lateral eligible list has candidates.
Right.
All right, well then the question becomes, should we do it sooner than May? Can we do it sooner than May? Do we want to, and can we?
I think it's hard to do it sooner, not only because of your process for selecting the citizen panelists takes time.
Okay.
All right.
I think we can do it in early May.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks in mid-May, so
mm-hmm.
if we could shoot for the first week of May, I think that could be
so
we could do that.
First week of May might be hard for me, but I will find it. I will
second
that.
Week.
Do you have to be here? You want to be here?
I would like to sit.
Okay.
I think I'm up in rotation.
Okay.
Other folks have been here for the past few interview panels, so I wouldn't mind being here for this.
Okay, so I will coordinate with your schedule.
Okay,
then
we'll work it.
Okay.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get the advertising kicked out, and whoever we have and is ready to go and interview as soon as we can get our stuff together, then we'll work.
Well, let's kind of think of maybe September being the next time we do oral boards, because we don't want to do that when we get into the holidays. We don't want to do it in August,
mm-hmm.
and if we kind of mentally think May and September, then we can let people that apply know that's normally the months that we do that and get into some degree of predictability.
I think a lot of that's going to depend on this like how the names go on here. But once we get past this and having this old and new, then yes, I think a system would be very helpful.
Easier because we can calendar it.
Yeah,
and
it would really be helpful.
Just know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I can think that may affect this is if there's anything that comes up in the job description, job analysis in the near future that may change the nature of the questions that we ask. And if we want to continue with the interviews that the same interview questions in the format that we used, or based on some of this analysis and the input of updating that job description, if we need to adjust our interview format or question.
So I think that what that means is at least our next meeting, one of the agenda items probably ought to be the same subject,
yeah.
The panel, how's that looking? What are our questions?
Just
or do we need to adjust?
And reminded of the conversation with Steve and Julia where we can discuss the questions in executive session, which I think will really be helpful to the I think that'll make the conversation, you know, we might improve the dialogue.
Yeah. I know for one, I think I'd like to adjust the scoring process to make it a little bit more streamlined, shorter, or just let them decide on a percentage.
I'm also
number.
Concerned about the structure, the logic of the scoring process, not just whether we have five numbers or seven numbers or eight numbers. There's something basically odd about it that we could talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's make that a key, like a long-term discussion for April.
April, yep. Okay.
Let's see. We did seven, we've done eight.
We haven't done seven.
Nine. Oh, okay. Seven, let's do that.
I know, sorry, bounced all over the place. Seven, so this is, again, a very brief update. My investigation is ongoing. I'm waiting for some additional information from the appellant. So I will have an update for you at the next meeting, if not the actual report in advance of the meeting.
Okay. And whether you want to talk about our potential additional member?
What? We're going to have an additional member. So actually this agenda item would be more aptly talking about applicants for the vacant position for the Civil Service Commission. And what I'm thinking is to give some guidance to council, because it comes from council, right? It doesn't come from the city manager.
Right.
And to do some advertising and indicate some preferences to diversify the commission. Right now we have one female and we have three attorneys. three attorneys, and so I mean I love attorneys. I think it's a wonderful profession, and I give thanks most days for my ability to understand that framework. But I think it would be interesting and add some balance to perhaps have somebody from law enforcement or somebody from human resources or maybe a numbers person, but somebody, maybe an artist. And I'm thinking too to represent the island a little bit more, and so maybe have some ethnic diversity. So I would favor another female type of preference, just to get balanced that way. And so it certainly opens the thoughts from around the table here, but we need to fill that chair. And if
council needs to fill that chair.
Well, but council is stuck, and council has so many other things, and if we can just offer them a little structure to help them move forward, I think that that's part of our job. Because I want us to be five. I don't want us to be four. And so that's my two cents.
Well, my two cents. I respect all the values that Linda is talking about in terms of what it could do to improve any committee to have more diversity, more representation, more creative thought, people from different fields and walks of life. However, my personal view of a lot of these kind of positions is that you don't want an HR expert, because quote-unquote expertise, what you're doing with these positions, for example, I was on the school board for many years. Now, that's an elected official, that's different from an appointed official, and maybe that means different rules. But we all said, hey, we were elected to be the liaison from the common wisdom to the experts who run the show, like the superintendent in that case, or the police chief and the city manager. I like the fact that sometimes people in these kind of roles are not qualified. They're just people who care and are willing to dig in and do their best. To me, my leaning on the whole thing is to not put any qualifications on it other than a person who is open-minded, reasonable, consensus-oriented, without a personal agenda other than wanting to make it work well. I mean, and if they all turn out to be architects, that's okay with me. So that's my two cents, and we're just speaking to the council, but if the consensus of the group is to go to the council with a formal request sort of along Linda's lines, I'll go with the consensus. I'll even put my name to it. But part of me says, you know, they should look for the people who want to step up, who are good communicators, who are reasonable folks, who know how to compromise and solve problems, and not worry about all the external attributes. So there's 2 cents to have.
Well, it would be nice if we could have both, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Because,
absolutely.
I mean, your criteria, you know, to be emotionally healthy and to come with open heart to this would be given with any of these other classifications, too. So.
I can respect that. I understand that.
I think the council's challenge is probably the same kind of one that we're facing when we're trying to recruit people to apply for positions here, and so we can interview them for the eligibility list and things like that. So they put out an ask, and apparently they didn't get that many takers. And so maybe what we best thing we could do is to kind of work with them or be willing to, when we see the notice, which I haven't seen, but
it's a while ago.
Go and recruit someone.
Well,
you know,
I think
go
I
and
think
find
that,
someone. To
I think the council
throw their
is kind of stuck, and so maybe, you know, to just encourage them to run the ad again.
It just bothers me that they had someone who not only, apparently, and again, it's a little out of school to speak this way, but my understanding is that this person was qualified in almost every way, including both personal experience as well as temperament and intellect, and for them to unilaterally decide, you know, we don't want to pick somebody who's clearly qualified because we want more people to pick from. It just seems like a kick in the can down the road for no purpose, and I don't particularly want to encourage a council to do that. If you're listening to this tape, with all due respect, I think you ought to pick a good person who's put their name up.
Yeah. Because we got work to do.
Well, we need to fill that chair, and so
right.
I think we're all in agreement that we'll be welcoming to anybody that is in that chair, and what's the best way then to encourage council to move forward.
How about if I go back and speak with either the city manager or the city clerk who's coordinating the advertising for all the committees as they come up, and just relay the concern or the desire to have another commissioner sooner rather than later, and then I can certainly report back to you and let you know what the...
Do the ads talk to diversity, or... I'm trying to pull some of those up, and they're all pretty just general.
They're very
they?
General, and then... Yeah. That's mostly for cost, because the, you know, the newspaper ads do cost us a lot of money throughout the year. So we try to put more description on the website. And I'm thinking of, you know, the Utility Advisory Committee, the Design Review Board, they have specific, the code calls out specific backgrounds of individuals that they're looking for. That's not the case with the Civil Service Commission or the Salary Commission. So it depends on the committee.
No, I would also just offer a gratuitous opinion that doesn't necessarily have to be shared by anybody, that the notion that I heard kicked around by city council, that because they don't want to deal with the burden of having to fill all these positions on a constant around-the-clock basis, they were going to talking about pushing it twice or even once a year that they fill slots, is to me completely an irresponsible dereliction of a duty to create the effective commissions and boards and task force. You can't give folks a task and then underfund them and say, "Oops, I'm too busy," or under resource them human wise. So, again, I don't. That's just me speaking, and I don't know if the group wants to take a position on that. But that would be a permanent delay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, council is going to set their own criteria and their own time frame.
Yes, they are.
Nudge, complain, and. and encourage.
So that's, we have consensus on that. Can someone tell them we're frustrated?
Yes, I will.
Because we only, we have a, we have a missing.
Frustrated
that's
is
a perfect
good word.
Word
that
yes.
we can
yeah.
all.
And you could also, them. If you guys agree, tell them that. The I'm not going to go overboard here, but really the problem solution, one of the problems is they're feeling is the burden of having to spend council members' time interviewing dozens, if not dozens and dozens,
mm-hmm.
of volunteers for various boards. Let the staff do it. Let Doug, who is highly qualified and picked through a nationwide search, do that job. And then they don't have a resource problem.
Or let us interview the people that want to do. I think that would be.
You could have the city manager and one representative of the board who's being filled both be involved in this. It doesn't have to be a council member. So I don't know how much you want to communicate with that.
Well, the thing is, and you know, that it is a political process. And I've spoken to council, not about this commission, but about other ones, and I had the perfect person, and I recommended him, and then the person that was going to be making that decision said, but somebody on the south end really wants to have representation, and came back with all these political nuances that I was just like, well, okay. So, you know.
Then you're in my court.
Well, it's,
no
it's,
more politics.
I
the right
I understand
people.
The complexity of being on council in this community, and I don't. But anyway, yes, I think our frustration.
I will do that, and I will report back to you. If not before the meeting, definitely at the next meeting. An update.
Again, they like your annual report and everything, right? They,
I guess.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? You want us to continue to do work?
We have
projects
needs.
That we're
we
doing.
Have needs.
And we like to assign work out amongst ourselves. And
yeah.
We can use another hand.
I completely agree.
And actually, one of the things that I'd like to put on the record, and I think we're probably pretty done, but when I think of where we were last year, just scrambling to fill, didn't we have like three positions that needed to be filled and all the things to get redone? And, you know, Bruce and Rob, I think you guys just really carried the weight of all that, but there were so many things to get done. And look at us now. Just look at us now.
The key to that success is us working together and having five people on and to be able to go off and do the mini components
right.
of that larger project is what we're successful at. So
anyway, and thank you, Kate. You always do such a nice job.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Stepping back one step to the advertisement thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we empowering Kate to just get that advertisement out there, or is she going to talk to Rob as to what it looks like, or what?
I think we went through this when we talked. We created that list of all the
mm-hmm.
different venues.
Yeah,
I think it was back
that.
In November or something, and
right.
we identified some key ones that were most successful for response rate.
Right.
And we identified the key law enforcement communities that we could post on. PST does some Facebook posts and social media posts of agency so-and-so it now has an opening for please come and apply.
Right.
Well,
and
I guess
and
other than a simple message, opening, come and apply, on the general theory that two brains are better than one, do you two
yeah.
want to look at the text
yeah.
and figure out a way to make it punchy and stand out or whatever? I don't know
yeah.
if that ever happens. In
I think that's the profile. That's
right.
Right. Yeah.
That is,
so
yeah.
if we can knock the description out and then
mm-hmm.
create that glossy
yes.
of what that, look how great Bainbridge Island is,
mm-hmm.
and please come be a police officer here.
Right.
So I'm totally comfortable empowering
yeah.
you two to
mm-hmm.
run that.
Me too.
It sounds like then in your fifth commissioner, you're looking for a graphic.
That'd
be nice, wouldn't it?
Among other things.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, I'm fine with that. All right.
Anything else? Anybody else have anything else? Yeah. The only thing it was in the minutes from last time, I'm continuing to work on that kind of long-term 2013 project of what we wanted to do. And Lydia, you weren't here, but we assigned you quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Essentially, we have five main components, and it's the officer job analysis that will lead to a new interview panel, which we're going to do most often. And then communications, I'm really kind of deferring a lot of that pending the, you know, a new chief and the city taking direction on their recruitment strategy and how we want to communicate in public forums and roundtables and all those kind of things. And we'll play a part at that table. And then the operations are you guys for the SOP manual, and the only thing is strategic. long-term hiring projections. So I'm still working on that project, and hopefully we'll be able to fine-tune and see Linda, which ones you want to take on, and Commissioner number five.
Yeah. Later.
Thanks so much. Stand adjourned.